Geico presents sharing versus oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. Geico has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another episode of the Experimental Homesteader Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Sherry Ann Richardson, and you know, we're just 2 days away from Thanksgiving, and Thanksgiving really is a time to be thankful, a time to be thankful for everything you have, for everything that you've managed to succeed in over the past year, for your family, your livestock, and the freedom to be able to live the homesteading lifestyle if that's what you choose. There's a lot of advantages to having a Thanksgiving when you live on a homestead. For one, you don't have to go to the grocery store and buy all of your food. Many of the foods you can grow or raise yourself. If you've been preserving it, you simply need to go into your pantry or your freezer and get out what you need. One of the great things that I like to preserve and use at Thanksgiving time is fruits. Apples and cherries and pecans make great pies. Some people like pumpkin pie, and certainly you can puree and can your own pumpkin. But there's just a variety. And, of course, there may still be some fruits outside that you can collect fresh. Or if you have a root cellar, you may have fresh fruit down there that you can bring up and serve. Another thing that I like to use that I grow myself over Thanksgiving is the vegetables that I grow. These may be fresh, canned, dehydrated, or even frozen. Because after all, a lot of times it's so busy during gardening season that I don't have time to can or dehydrate. So I simply prepare the vegetables and I put them in a freezer bag and I freeze them. And then later in the year when things slow down, which is usually winter, I can bring those frozen vegetables out and I can use them in canned goods. I can dehydrate them, eat them just as they are. And, of course, herbs. As we all know, seasonings are fairly expensive when you go to the grocery store. And you can save that $4 or $5 a bottle if you grow your own herbs and learn which herbs to use to make the spice blends that you really like. I really like to use sage in my stuffing at Thanksgiving time. I just think that makes all the difference in how things taste. I also like to use a lot of garlic, which, of course, I grow and I dehydrate and then I powder. But I also have garlic scapes. So if I do run out of the dried garlic, I still can use garlic. And the way I prepare those is I cut the stalk right before the flower opens. And this would happen in late spring. I'd cut that flower top off, and then I cut the garlic scapes up into small pieces, maybe a quarter inch wide, and I put a layer of sea salt in the bottom of a canning jar, and I put a thin layer of the scapes, and then I add another layer of sea salt, and I keep doing this until I run out of the garlic scapes, and then I put a lid on, and I store this in my refrigerator. And, of course, I get 2 products out of it. The first one is the garlic scapes. And if you don't want the salt, you can rinse them off before you use them. But I also get the salt. And that does have a little bit of a garlic flavor to it because, of course, it absorbs all the juices that the garlic scapes let off. And so this is a great way, again, to preserve another product that you can grow yourself. And I also grow a small amount of grains, mainly wheat, although I have grown amaranth, I've grown flax, I've grown oats. And what I do with my wheat is I grind it up. I store it in the refrigerator, of course, inside of a container so it doesn't draw moisture or anything. And this is after I dry it, of course, because I do dry my grains before I put them away. And then I just grind them up, and I use that to make fresh baked bread or other products. You could, of course, sprout the grains if you wanted. You could make cereal out of them. You could do a lot of different things. And so these are all ways that you can use what you grow on your homestead in your Thanksgiving meal. Or if you're not going to make a meal, you could prepare foods to take to wherever you're going to have your Thanksgiving meal. And again, this is a great way to save money. I'd love to hear what kind of things you like to use in your Thanksgiving meal that you grow yourself. Our guest call-in line is 347-215-8604. And again, this is the Experimental Homesteader Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Sherry Ann Richardson. And you can find out more information about us by going to my website, experimentalhomesteader.com. And that is experimentalhomesteader.com. And you will see that I live on a 2.5-acre farm. I try to be as self-sufficient as possible. So everything that I'm talking to you about on these shows, I'm actually doing myself. Another way that you can save money on your Thanksgiving meal is by butchering your own meat, whether this is a pig for a ham, a turkey, or maybe you want to be a little bit less conventional and you want to have a chicken or a duck or a quail. These are all animals that you can raise on a small homestead because they don't take a lot of land, and you can butcher yourself. Or if you don't want to do that, there are butcher shops where you can actually take the animals in live and give them to them, and they will butcher them for you. So a lot of different things you can do. Maybe you can find a neighbor or a friend that is willing to come over and do the butchering and trade for part of the meat. And not only will you save money, but the food that you grow yourself tastes so much better than anything you can buy. You have control over how it's raised. If you want to feed it organic feed, you can. You know if you've allowed that animal to free range. And believe me, a free-ranged animal tastes so much better than the animals that are raised in factory farms and caged. You know everything about that animal. You know you're getting healthy meat. And you know that it does not have genetically modified organisms in its food unless you choose to raise your animal that way. And I would highly suggest that you don't, because they are finding proof that GMOs do alter DNA. There's a lot of problems with this, so I would suggest that you do raise your animals using certified organic feed. It does cost a little bit more, but believe me, in the end, it's worth it. Another product that you can get from raising animals on your farm to use in your Thanksgiving dinner is eggs. And who doesn't love homemade noodles? I mean, that's just a great item. You can make a big batch. You can put them in your freezer after you dry them. They'll keep for up to 6 months. The eggs that you raise yourself, you break one open and compare it to a store-bought egg. Some of those eggs in the store are over a year old. They've been stored in conditions that there is no way that I would ever store my eggs in or recommend to anybody that they do this. The FDA, of course, says this is okay. But really, what do you want? An egg that is fresh, that came from your own chickens, that has not been exposed to any type of chemicals, or an egg that has been put in chemicals to where the pores are sealed, and it might be a year older. You know, you can look at this and see it. You can look at the different colors of the yolk. Even the height of the yolk is often different. Of course, if you have livestock, going away for Thanksgiving can be a problem unless you have someone to come in and take care of your animals for you while you're gone. That's not always an easy thing to do. You can get pet sitters for cats and dogs, but when you start talking goats and sheep and chicken and horses and cows, the pet sitters are a little more leery. A lot of them don't have experience with these type of animals, and they don't want to have experience with these type of animals. So one thing that you can do is contact your local 4-H clubs. Find some kids that maybe want to work with animals or already live on a farm that would be willing to come over and take care of your animals. And, of course, make sure it's okay with their parents. Make sure they're responsible, because you don't want to come home and find out your animals have not been fed or watered or cared for. You could, of course, have someone come live on your homestead and trade for room and board that they help you during times that you're gone. But again, you want to be careful with this. You want to really check people out and make sure that whoever you choose is going to do what they're supposed to do, and that you're not going to come home to an empty house and neglected livestock. So do be careful. Again, our guest call-in line is 347-215-8604. This is the Experimental Homesteader Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Sherri Ann Richardson, and I would love to hear from you about these issues that we're talking about. I would love to hear about your Thanksgiving homestead celebrations, just whatever you want to talk about, what you're thankful for. So give me a call, 347-215-8604 is that guest call-in line. Another way that you can use items from your garden in your Thanksgiving feast is by going out and seeing what plants are still alive that you can cut and bring inside and use for table decor. And yes, I know this is the end of November, and yes, I live in Indiana, and yes, I still have live plant material in my garden and will continue to do so throughout the winter. I have pansies that are in full bloom. Now, if I look out in the morning, they're frozen down to the tops of their pots, so I have to wait till afternoon to get those. I have hellebores that are in bloom. And believe me, for little small bouquets, hellebores are beautiful. I have holly that I can go outside and cut. There are evergreens that you can take branches off of. I believe there's still some phlox in bloom in my garden out there, and some roses. So don't just think, oh, it's winter, it's Thanksgiving, it's the end of November, what could be in my garden? Go out and look around. And if you don't have anything this year, think about planting some of these things come spring so that you can have four seasons of bloom. So when Thanksgiving comes, when Christmas comes, when Valentine's Day's come, you can go out into your garden and you can cut plant material to bring inside to use in your celebrations. Another thing that I like to do, not necessarily on Thanksgiving Day, but by the end of the month, is I like to plant potatoes outside. Yes, I did say plant potatoes. Now, of course, as you're preparing your potatoes for your Thanksgiving dinner, whether these are potatoes that you have in your root cellar, that you've stored in another way, that you've canned, that you've even gone to the store and bought, although you do want to be careful with that to make sure that you don't transfer any diseases from store-bought potatoes into your ground. But you can take these potatoes and you can sprout them. And once the eyes start growing, cut them up. Let the ends that you've cut dry up for a couple days, 3-4 days. Go outside before the ground freezes and dig yourself a 12-inch trench. The size of the trench, as far as length, is going to depend on how many potatoes you have. But it does need to be 12 inches in depth. And then what you're going to do is you're going to fill the bottom of that trench with 4 inches of grass clippings, hay or straw that you've dug out of your goat stalls, your sheep stalls, your chicken coops, out of your compost pile if that's where it's at. You can use leaves if that's what you need to do. And basically what you're going to do is fill that 12-inch trench up with 4 inches of this dried plant material. Then you're going to lay your sprouted potatoes on top of this. You're going to put 4 more inches of this same type of material on top of these sprouted potatoes. And then you're going to put down an inch or so of soil. You only want enough soil to cover the dried plant material to keep it down so it doesn't blow away off of your potatoes. You can put a cold frame over this if you like, or put a piece of plastic and hold it down with brick or rock or sandbags or whatever you have. Or you can just leave it exposed. It doesn't matter. Because these potatoes are going to start growing roots during the winter. By early spring, you're going to start seeing growth on these. And as soon as you see that, you need to start backfilling with the soil or compost or whatever kind of material you want to put back in this. You could use straw and plant material again if you wanted. And by the end of May, guess what you're going to have? You're going to be harvesting potatoes that you grew over the winter when your garden would otherwise be doing nothing, unless, of course, you're growing grains. So by the time those potatoes come out of the ground, it's going to be ready for you to put in some of your warm weather crops, your eggplants, your peppers, your tomatoes, although you do want to be careful putting tomatoes where potatoes have been because they are in the same family. Also, all of that plant material that you put in for those potatoes to grow on is going to have broken down by this point. So you're going to have some rich organic matter in there that you can work into the soil if you like. Or you can just leave it lay and, like I said, pile up some soil on top and you're good to go. You can also add some new compost, and you should add new compost because the potatoes could have used up a lot of the nutrients that were in this plant material as it was breaking down. So it's always a good idea to add an additional 3 inches of compost over your garden in the early spring. And I recommend doing this again in the fall because the plants will take up what they need. And you do want to make sure that there is plenty of organic matter in there. It's going to make your soil better. And if you're like me and you have clay soil, you need all the help you can get. And really, you don't have to do anything else to the potatoes. So again, this is the Experimental Homesteader Blog Talk Radio Show. I'm your host, Sherry Ann Richardson. My guest call-in line is 347-215-8604. And we are talking about Thanksgiving on the homestead. Again, it is a time to be thankful for everything that has happened over the past year. And remember, even if it was something bad that has happened, when bad things happen, another door opens up that you can walk through. So don't feel like it's the end of the world. Don't feel depressed. Even if you've come to realize that homesteading is a little bit harder than what you thought, think about all the good things. Think about that fresh organic produce that you're getting. Think about those fresh herbs and how healthy they are for you. Think about your livestock, because even they have personalities and are such precious animals. And the more you know your livestock and the more they are know you, the more of a relationship you're going to have. I guarantee you, I have a relationship with my goats and my sheep and my horse and my chickens just like I do my dogs. So really a lot to be thankful for. And on that, we're going to close today's show. I hope you've enjoyed listening. And we'll be back right here, not next Thursday because it's Thanksgiving, but we will be back the Thursday after. We certainly hope to see you here. We hope that you have a very happy Thanksgiving. And we will see you next week. Thank you for listening.
GEICO presents Sharing versus Oversharing. Earlier this week, Claire Tippins shared a princess nickname generator, 3 pictures of her dog wearing a tutu, and 2 online quizzes, including, what candy is your dream castle made of? Claire, your sharing has tipped the sugar scale and turned into oversharing. But have no fear, princess. GEICO has something worth sharing with your internet kingdom, like how you could save hundreds on your car insurance just by visiting geico.com. No magic wand required. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.